Okay, it is good to see everybody out. We do have those that are visiting. We're delighted that you've come, and we invite you to get your Bibles and follow along as we study from the Word of the Lord, and we'll just trust that our time will be profitable, will be beneficial as we open the Word of the Lord. It's certainly obvious the world that we live in, there are lots of changes that go on. We're in the midst of the change of seasons. Well, really going to pull into swing spring today. It's supposed to be up around 80 degrees, so big change for us on that. I look back over my life after I got my driver's license when I was 16, so I had about 15 different cars and vehicles over my life, if I counted correctly. We change oil in our cars. We change jobs from time to time. We change our tires. We change all kinds of things in the world that we live in. We change physically as we grow older, etc. And but anyway, what we want to talk about from 2 Timothy chapter 4 is some things that are unchangeable. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's notice here in verses 1 through 8. Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. And so we look at this text, and Paul talks about different things that are unchangeable, that are talked about in this text. And we just want to notice them in contrast to things that we do change. And there are things that do change as we go through life. And we're demanded to change in repentance, that is, change our ways. But we want to look here in this text and talk about some unchangeable things. First off, I wanted to look at that we have an unchangeable charge. For those who teach and preach, we have an unchangeable charge. As it talks about there in verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What is his charge? Verse 2, preach the word. For those who stand before to teach the gospel, whether as an evangelist or whether as a teacher or whether you speak the word with other folks about the gospel message, we have an unchangeable charge, a solemn charge. The New American Standard translates the phrase. That is, it suggests a divine order. That is, God-given duty, responsibility, obligation, a requirement. Some versions use that idea, I require of you. And it is a requirement that those who stand to preach and teach the word are to do that very thing, preach the word. It's a requirement. It's not an optional thing. Not only it is the responsibility for the one who stands to teach, but it is the responsibility for everybody in the pews. You have a responsibility also to listen what's being said, to examine what's being said, as we see in the example of the noble Bereans, that they looked at what Paul and Silas were teaching, and they were commended for their nobility because they searched the scriptures daily whether these things are so. And so we have a responsibility, whether we're sitting in the pew listening to somebody, like next week when Sam Fowler comes, we all have the obligation to listen carefully what is being taught, and to open our Bibles and examine, follow along. And because we want the gospel preached, because that's the things that's going to help us. And so Paul's charge to Timothy was to preach the word. That is, preach the gospel. Preach the word of the Lord. Preach the word of the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? Teach them the word of the Lord. That through the preaching of the gospel, preaching of the cross, as Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The responsibility is to preach the gospel, preach the cross, preach the word of the Lord. As Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27, Acts chapter 20, 26 and 27, Paul says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul explains why he is pure, because he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The charge to Timothy, the charge to me when I stand to preach, is to declare the word of the Lord, to preach the word of God, and to preach his word. That's a God-given responsibility. It is our responsibility as listeners to check out what's being said. And if it's not being said, then to try to help the one, just like you have Aquila and Priscilla, taking Apollos aside and showing unto him the way of God more perfectly. So there's one unchangeable thing that our passage talks about. I charge you therefore before God, that is to preach the word. Then we have unchangeable witnesses that are mentioned there in verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about God, we talk about Jesus. They are unchangeable. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. I am Jehovah. I am the Lord. I change not. There in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. You know, sometimes, and we sometimes do it ourselves, but sometimes you'll meet people, maybe they're in a pretty good mood and they present themselves one way. And then the next day, maybe they're kind of grumpy, maybe something's bothering them, and they're like a totally different person. You just never know. They just sort of vacillate back and forth, but not God. There is no variableness with him. What you see in God, you see God consistently throughout the span of the scriptures, throughout time. He changes not. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord has not changed. And of course, they are the witnesses that Paul is giving charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, because they don't change and they see all, they know all. And Timothy, you need to fulfill your responsibility of preaching the word, preaching and declaring the whole counsel of God. There in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. God's going to see Timothy and all the preaching that he was doing. He saw Paul and all the preaching that he's doing. And the same with me or anybody else who stands to teach the word of the Lord. God is our witness. And he wants us to speak forth his word. Whereas, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we're stewards. It says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, what's a steward? A steward is somebody who takes care of another person's household. In other words, if you were going to go on an extended vacation and you take your keys, you're going to pick a trusted friend. Can you go by and check on the house? Can I just go through? Here's the keys to the front door. Or they give you the code to the garage door opener. Do you just give that to anybody? No, you're going to give it to somebody that you trust. That they're going to take care of your house. They're going to lock it back up. And they're going to tell you exactly what it is. Wow, they're just sort of watching out for you. Well, that's what Paul's talking about as stewards of the mysteries of God. That is, as teaching the gospel message. We are stewards and we're to be found faithful, reliable, that it's God's message and we want to treat it with respect as God's message and tell it just like it is, not to give slanted, not to twist it, not to distort it, not to change it in any way, but to declare the word of the Lord, to preach the gospel, preach the word. That was the charge that Timothy had, preach the word. And the sign of these witnesses. All right, so we have unchangeable witnesses. We also have an unchangeable word. When he says, preach the word, this message has not changed. The same gospel message is the same message that was taught in the first century, is the same message that we have today. The word of the Lord has not changed. It is an unchangeable message. Yeah, it's been translated into different languages. We use the English language. And Lord willing, next week, next Thursday, we'll be flying down to southern Mexico and we'll be teaching in Spanish. still have the same responsibility to preach the word. It's just in a different language. And those, the Spanish translations are good translations also, faithfully conveying the mind of God and have the same responsibility, just using a different language. But it's the same message. That is the message of the gospel. You know, sometimes people say, like our Mormon friends, they try to say, well, the word of God was corrupted. It's not so. In the book of Mormon, 1 Nephi, chapter 13, here in verse 26, just got this off their website. I had it in paper, but I thought, well, I'll put it up here so everybody can read it. And you can go to the website, and it's going to say exactly this. It says in 1 Nephi 13, 26, and after they go forth from the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, thou seest the formation of that great and abominable church, which I think they're referring to the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, which is most abominable of all other churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious, and also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away. And then two verses later in that same chapter, wherefore thou seest that after the book has gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, that is the Catholic Church, they had many copies of the Bible, and they say that they corrupted the word, that there are many plain and precious things taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God, that is the Bible, that it was corrupted, that they took away some of these things. And of course, lo and behold, the Book of Mormon, they just attach back there, and it sort of fills in what was taken away. The problem is, that's not so, because the Word of God has not been corrupted. And that's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at it very carefully, verses 23 through 25. Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. The word of the Lord lives and abides forever. Have there been people tried to destroy the Bible? Yeah, you go through history. Some of the Roman emperors, they try to say, destroy all the Bibles. Some of the Roman Catholic popes, they said, destroy all the Bibles. And they burned up a lot of Bibles. But they didn't burn them all up. God in his divine providence, he protected his word. There are people that have tried to assail against the word of God, but it has prevailed. It lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. You think about grass, you think about flowers. I mean, we've got all these trees blooming, the dogwoods, they're just so pretty. Our neighborhood, we got lots of white dogwoods and pink dogwoods, and they're really pretty. And one thing about the cool weather we've had, they sort of stay longer. Metabolism slows down in the trees, and so we get to enjoy them a little longer. But now with these warmer days, they will hasten to finish pollinating, etc., and the blooms will fall out. They only last for a little while. That's humanity. That's people. That's the thing, so many things of this world. It's temporary. But the word of the Lord, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This word has not been corrupted. It has not been changed. It lives and abides forever. It is the same message that was revealed in the first century to Peter and the rest of the apostles and prophets as they wrote these things. And they have been faithfully copied and been passed down, and they've been faithfully translated into our language, into all kinds of languages, in fact. In fact, sometimes I really enjoy reading the Spanish. It's like sometimes, they give a little bit clearer sense and of some particular verse, some little nuance that's pretty interesting as I look at the Spanish version. But it's conveying the mind of God. It's a message that has not been changed. Don't look for something new. We have nothing new to give. It's all found right here in this book we call the Bible. The message of the gospel, it's unchangeable. It has not been changed. People have tried to change it, but it has not been changed. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I mean, we think planet earth is pretty stable. It looks pretty stable. But it's going to pass away, but not the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord endures forever.
So we have an unchangeable message. Now let's notice something else as we go back to our passage here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We have an unchangeable method. Paul says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. I like what I heard many years ago. What's it mean to be in season, out of season? Well, you just preach it when people like it, and you just preach it when people don't like it. Or whether I like it or I don't like it. Timothy, you preach the word. That's the responsibility. Just preach the word. Preach the word of the Lord. Just tell it like it is. Let the chips fall where they may. Just speak the word of the Lord. And then he says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Did you notice that? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. When you look at those three phrases, reproving is like you kind of saying, well, that's not a good thing. Rebuking is sort of more of a sharp saying, well, that's a bad thing to do. Exhorting to say, come on, this is what we need to do. So some of the things is kind of negative in its nature. Sometimes people say, we don't need to be negative in preaching. Well, some things you're going to have to be negative about, because you're going to have to preach against sin. You're going to preach against things that are wrong. Preach against things that are destructive. It's interesting, back in the book of Jeremiah, you see the same thing. That there are things that are kind of negative in its nature in teaching the gospel, and there are things that are more positive in nature. Look at it in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, have I this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms? What was Jeremiah's duty? It was to preach the word of the Lord. And what's going to happen when he preaches the word of the Lord? He says to root out, that is, things that are bad. Pull down, that is, bad ideas. To say, hey, we need to pull them down, pull them out of the way. To destroy, that is, every false doctrine, every wrong idea, every false concept. To throw down the imaginations of men. So there's four things that he mentions that's sort of negative. It's like one time, I remember many years ago, J.T. Wilson, he's talking with a friend. He said, here are people in the Church of Christ, you always seem to be just against a lot of stuff. Well, how can you preach the gospel and not be against sin? I mean, how are you going to preach anything and not have to talk about things that are not right? How are you going to talk about adultery? How are you going to talk about atheism? How are you going to talk about anxieties and worries? I mean, all those things are bad. Homosexuality, fornication, drunkenness. I mean, you got to speak out against things that are bad. You got to tear down wrong ideals. There are people that are teaching error and false teachings out there and leading people astray. And so Jeremiah had that responsibility. He mentioned six things, four of them. He talks about tearing down the things that are bad, pulling down and rooting out the things that are bad. And then he says to build and to plant. It's sort of like you got a new plot of ground. You're going to plant a garden here. Well, you're going to have to root up the bad. You're going to have to tear out all the weeds. You're going to have to turn over the grass and the weeds and the bushes and get all that out of the way. You're going to have to clear the land before you can do some planting. And that's the way it is in teaching the gospel. Sometimes you have to deal with a lot of nonsensical ideals that people get taught, that people learn as they are influenced by the ways of sectarianism and error that's in the world. The devil, he's alive and active. He leads people down the wrong path. Is that not true? I mean, people that are teaching in all the religious churches in the world, are they all teaching the right thing? Of course not. When you look at the Bible and you look at what's being taught, I mean, we have churches that are promoting homosexuality. It's just an alternate lifestyle, and God loves everybody. And just come as you are, as if there's no such thing as repentance. It's not true. The call of the gospel, the call of God, is to repent. Because sin is destructive. It creates problems, all kinds of hardships and heartaches. And so, yeah, there's some things that are kind of negative in preaching the gospel to say, well, this is not right. And this is not so. This is an erroneous, this is a fallacious idea. This is a misuse of this passage. And that has to be dealt with. And then there are positive things that you have to talk about also, exhorting and admonishing, encouraging the folks to do right. That's the method that God's given us. And he says, you preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That is, you just keep hammering away at it. You keep teaching. You keep patiently helping, trying to help people. Don't lose patience and get kind of antsy. It's like, hey, you're not paying attention. Well, sometimes it takes us a while to get things. And so that's where long-suffering and patience and perseverance comes in. So we have an unchangeable charge, this passage talks about. We have an unchangeable witnesses, God and the Holy Spirit, or in Christ and Jesus. We have an unchangeable message. We have an unchangeable method. And then he talks about the unchangeable problem. Look at it there. Timothy, you go preach the word. Everybody's going to say, oh, great. Thank you for telling us the truth. There are going to be people who say, thank you. Thank you, Timothy. Thank you for that powerful lesson. Thank you for speaking. It stepped on our toes, but we need it. There are going to be people that says, yeah, we need it. We need the truth. We want the truth. But not everybody's going to be like that. Look what it says in verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure. They're not going to put up with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is healthy doctrine. That is preaching the truth. Preaching the word of the Lord. Preaching what's right. There's going to come a time when they're not going to endure that. But they shall, of their own lust, their own desires, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's like, God, well, we don't like to hear that. That's like somebody taking fingernails down a chalkboard. This is going all over, man. We don't like to hear that kind of teaching. Well, if it's the truth, we need it. If it's what God says, we need it. And if it steps on our toes, we need it. But then there are going to be people saying, we don't like that kind of preaching. We're going to get somebody that's going to preach it the way we want to hear it. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's a problem. That was a problem that Paul warned about. It's a problem that you see actually throughout the scriptures. In the Old Testament, we've got several examples of that kind of thing. Notice there in Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, it says, an appalling and a horrible thing is committed in the land. What's this horrible thing that has taken place? Somebody being killed? Well, that would be horrible, but that's not what he talks about. That somebody has gone without food, well, that's a bad thing. Somebody running roughshod over people, that's a bad thing. But what is this horrible, appalling thing that's taking place? Look at verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. They're not speaking the truth. They're not speaking the word of the Lord. They're speaking things that are false. And the priests bear rule by their own power. That is, they're doing things the way, not the way God ordained it to be, but their own way. So here are the religious leaders and teachers, the prophets, they're speaking, but they're not speaking the word of the Lord. They're bringing things that are not so. And you have the priests, they're leading the people, but it's after their own means. And then notice there, thirdly in verse 31, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end? It's bad that the prophets are prophesying falsely. That's bad. And the priests are doing things according to their own power, their own thinking. But then the people say, oh yeah, we like this. This is what we want. We want to hear. They're kind of telling it the way we like it. They're not talking about our sins. They're not talking about the things that we're doing wrong. They're not talking about things that are bad. They just kind of all positive and rosy and making everything all fuzzy and warm. And no, because not everything's always fuzzy and warm. There are beautiful things that are in this world. And there are great things about the kindness and the mercy and the goodness of God. But there's some things that are bad that go on. And there are those who teach wrongly. And it's an unchangeable problem. It happened in the Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament. And it happens today. People haven't changed through the centuries. In Jeremiah chapter 47, notice there in verses 6 and 7. O you sword of the Lord. I don't know whether he's talking about the physical sword that God sometimes gave charge for destruction to come upon people, or whether he's talking about the spiritual sword of the Lord, but it would be the same point. Because when God sent forth the sword, physical, it was to carry out his purposes and plans. And when he sends forth his word, the sword of the Lord, it's to carry out his purposes and plans. O you sword of the Lord, how long will it be before you are quiet? Put yourself into the scabbard, rest and be still. It's like, you know, we just don't want to hear that kind of preaching anymore. We don't, it's just a little bit too hard. That's a topic that's pretty touchy with some people, and we just prefer not to be talking about that. I mean, we have a lot of people that it has been talked about so many times. Well, you can talk about anything but politics and religion. And so people a lot of times live by that. They won't talk politics and they won't talk religion. Might be okay not to talk about politics, but don't ever get in the mindset that we can't talk about religious matters. That's a bad philosophy to go by. We should always be students of the Word and examine anything and everything that's being taught in light of God's Word. We should always be able to do that. And so verse 7 there in Jeremiah chapter 47, how can it be quiet seeing the Lord has given it a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There he hath appointed it. The word of the Lord goes forth. And we might think, just close that Bible up, put it back over there on the coffee table. We just don't want to hear that particular topic. Let's just avoid that particular topic. No. If it's a Bible topic and the Bible has revealed, it needs to be talked about. And so it's an unchangeable problem, this, I don't want to hear it. Look in Isaiah chapter 30. Here's another example. Now go, write it before them on a tablet. Note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Verse 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. It's like, we don't want to hear what you have to say, Isaiah. Who say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy deceits. It is unfortunate. There are those that will stand and preach it the way people want to hear it. My responsibility is just declare the word of the Lord. Just declare it like it is. Tell it like it is. Let the chips fall where they may. And so this has been a problem. And you can look at other passages, Amos chapter 7, the same thing. Amos, we don't hear this. Won't you just go on back to Judah? Well, we don't want to hear this up here in the northern kingdom. No. We need to preach the word of the Lord. Don't listen to people that say, no, we're not going to hear that. And so we have unchangeable qualifications of those who would be an evangelist. As he talks there in verse 5, watch thou in all things and do affliction, do the work of an evangelist. The qualifications of evangelists, first off, is a man. Timothy was a man. And those who are evangelists, that is going to be a man. Women have limitations. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11 and 12. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have authority over men, but to be in silence. That's why we don't have women preachers standing here proclaiming the gospel to the whole congregation. It's an unchangeable quality. It's men. Doesn't mean that women can't teach, that there's no place that she could teach. Yeah, there are places that she'll teach, and we read that in the scriptures. But to stand before and to preach in the assembly, no, she's limited. She's not to exercise authority over men, as it talks about in this passage. And to be able, that's another qualification, unchangeable qualification of those who would teach. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves to God, perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. apt to teach. Didn't say apt to teach anything. No, apt to teach. Able to teach. Have the capacity to teach. If you're going to stand to teach, you need to have some capacity, ability to teach. And we need to be faithful. As you look back in verse 2, in general, Paul is saying in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things which you have heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, that is, human beings, who shall be able to teach others also. For those who preach the gospel, to be an evangelist, you need to be a man, you need to be faithful, and to be able. Those are unchangeable qualifications. And then let's look at one more unchangeable thing. Not only do we see an unchangeable charge, unchangeable witnesses, unchangeable message, unchangeable method, unchangeable problem, unchangeable qualifications, we have an unchangeable promise mentioned in this text. As Paul talks about there in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Paul had kept the faith. Paul had run the race. Paul was faithful. Faithful just means full of faith. He was full of faith. He obeyed the gospel. He was full of faith. He was walking. He was living year after year full of faith, being dedicated to the Lord. He had finished his course. He's ready now to be offered, he talks about. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He didn't lose his faith. He didn't make shipwreck of the faith. He didn't depart from the faith. He had kept the faith. And the promise is there's a crown of righteousness. But it says it's not only for me, but for all them that love his appearing. For every person who loves God, just like Paul loved God. Yeah, we have that same promise. A promise of a crown of righteousness. As Mickey mentioned there in the Bible class, John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew chapter 22. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your might. Yeah, we're to love God. And people who truly love God are going to manifest that by doing what God said, by living what God said, drawing near to God and serving him and doing the right thing, not following whatever. No, following divine truth, that we want to do the will of the Lord. Yeah, we have an unchangeable promise. There will be a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And it's not just for Paul. It'll be for you, it'll be for me. If we follow in the steps of Paul, that is to be faithful. We extend the invitation to talk about we have an unchangeable plan of salvation. God has revealed exactly what we're to do to be saved. And it is unchangeable. It's the same message. The same message is that we hear this good news about Jesus the Christ, and that we believe in him as the Son of God, and that we be willing to repent, because repentance, it is commanded to all to make this change. That we be willing to confess our faith before men and then to be baptized, which is an immersion for the remission of sin. That's the plan that's revealed in the Scriptures. And then to rise to walk in newness of life, to endure to the end. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Just keep loving God. And then if we err as a Christian, come back through the second law of pardon. Yeah, come back through repentance and prayer. We're going to sing this song to encourage them. If there's one here, even this morning, that needs to come to the unchangeable God and to receive this unchangeable message in your heart, to obey the unchangeable plan of salvation, we could help you in any way. You come and let us know while together as we stand and as we sing.